Alright, welcome to Expounded Universe, Season 18, Episode 13. It's, management told me I had to actually do this part, so here we go!
He's doing what I told him, sir.
Hey! You shut your mouth, nerd!
Aw, sir, he called me a nerd, when I am clearly a geek.
Alright, Bookside Jedi, written by Michael A. Stackpole, is, 98. You got Jeff and John here, he's a couple of dorks. And,
they are accurately dorks, yes.
The episode's called, I, Vengeance. I, the Knight. Batman thing. Alright, here we go!
Welcome back. It's Expounded Universe, the Star Wars novel discussion podcast with your hosts. I am John, and with me, as always, steady as a rock, my island, my shelter from the storm, Joff.
Hey, but my name's not Joff. You've been hosting around.
Oh, no. I found that lipstick on your collar. You've been doing lipstick on collar reviews.
The flakes of pop filter on your shirt.
We don't have a red pop filter. Where did this come from?
That's true, we don't. Sage or one of my cats ate my red pop filters. So we're stuck with green and orange nowadays.
Hell yeah. We're repping Ireland nowadays. Mm-hmm.
I've got that Urn Brew colored popsicle or microphone.
Popsicle.
I don't know where that came from. It was a long day. We're deep in potty training.
We're deep in the potty.
It's yes. We've moved from rewards for doing potty in the little tiny potty to now you only get rewards if you do them in the regular adult size.
Yeah, and the actual potty.
She's hating that. She's like, I'll just take this little one to school.
I mean, you got to appreciate the hustle.
She's got a lot of good ideas. The other fun thing is that some of our family is moving, and they gave Sage a bunch of their old stuff to like clear it out of their house.
And here, one of those TV. Things,
well, thankfully, not that, but one of the things was a guitar, like a child sized guitar.
Okay.
And she has been playing it by putting it on the floor and drumming on it, and then strumming, just one hand strumming. And she has a song she sings, and it's adorable. It's guitar. Guitar songs. I love this song. It's guitar song.
Well, call the record label.
Island Records, have I got a deal for you?
This kid.
Take my kid, please. Hey, I know I told you in episode 120... when I was just coming back from paternity leave time, we were doing the Book of Erotic Fantasy, and I said, she's going to get world famous, and then I won't have to do nothing. And we're on the way now, buddy.
Oh, the path is set.
I mean, System Master, episode 120. I don't remember what episode 120 of this is. This isn't my real show.
You're not my real show.
This is a lie I put up with you, you philanderer.
Fuck you. I don't need to listen to you.
So, I Jedi though, huh?
Huh?
How are you doing, by the way?
Oh, I'm doing great. Okay. How are you doing?
I'm fine.
How am I doing?
Good. I think you're probably doing okay.
But how are you doing?
I don't know. You tell me.
I don't know. You're probably doing kind of tired.
And who's the gentleman on first?
Why, tis the very same. So we read about three chapters of I, Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
That was the assignment, and we completed it.
Oh, thank you. Not me. My dog ate my book.
Ah! I'm just waiting for the dog here to rip apart one of these books.
I got the Spark Notes version of the Cliff Notes version of the book online. Shit happened.
There was a Jedi, and I think it was I.
It ends on the most predictable cliffhanger I've ever seen, this set of three chapters. Would you agree?
Eh, I mean, you know, it was bound to happen at some point.
Yeah.
But, we start our chapters off, obviously, last time we had left, Corrin Horn was just finally ready to accept that he should actually do something.
Uh-huh, and he built himself a lightsaber out of an old speeder bike handle and a bunch of parts he scavenged from all over. And with the help of Elagos, his Kamasi butler, who... I guess you just get one of those when you're a main character. You just... The first dude you come across who's butlerish, you're like, you're my butler now. And he's like,
I saved your life, and now you're my dude. And they're like, I love being someone's dude.
Yeah, plus
my whole culture has a whole thing about being someone's dude.
Knew your grandfather, I did.
Real weird.
It's a dumb coincidence. The sad part is I like Elagos. He's a character I don't hate. He's fun to hang around with because he's smarter than Corinhorn, which is great given how much time we have to spend hearing Corinhorn puff his own dumb ass up in this book.
Oh, yeah, but honestly, it just plays even more into the Batman thing when he comes home and has an Alfred there.
Yeah, and the Alfred's like, I diapered your bottom, sir.
Very good, a meal is prepared for
but
you.
But that said, you need that Alfred sarcasm to take a little wind out of Batman's sails.
Oh, you have to.
Yeah, it's an important part of the structure. It's generally why I don't like a lot of domestic Superman stories, is because he surrounded himself with fucking like robots and shit, and we're just like, yes, Superman, I am also a Superman, just a robot Superman. You're like, this is boring. Alfred has some sass.
Well, no, you get sass from Lois. That's how you do Superman domestic stories.
That is true. You do get some sass from Lois. And it's one thing that her and Alfred have in common is that they are both army brats. So,
they both powdered Bruce Wayne's bottom.
They do. They did, yes. Especially if you watch the animated series.
At the end, Corinhorn had decided, all right, you know, for the third time in this book, I've really decided that I fucked around too long and it's time to start doing something.
He probably looked at the rest of the book. Oh, there's like a children's novel left over. There's enough for me to do one Planet of Terror type story.
Oh, we have two episodes. This is the second to last episode.
Yes.
There's one more left in this.
And then the wrap up.
And I'm just like, my God, man, you have spent an entire novel
just futzing around. I mean, I can kind of see at this point from these three chapters what the plan has been. It was always like this book is the cocoon out of which the proper Jedi Knight Corinhorn will emerge. And he has to go through all these trials and tribulations. But all of his trials and tribulations are just like, there's a problem. I, Corinhorn, easily handle it. But it gives me thoughts.
I mean, the problem with it is he's like, oh, there are all these problems. I will handle it as a guy. Also, all of these are books that have already been written, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. So, anyway, now that he's decided that he's going to solve the problem, interestingly, his problem is not find my wife. His problem is, like, clear all these pirates off this planet so that Tavira doesn't have all these pirates anymore.
Yeah. So, he's like, all right, I'm going to get my lightsaber. I've got my weird green robes that the Jedi from,
The Emerald City, in the Land of Oz.
Yeah.
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 You're thinking of Corellia, but...
Yeah, Corellia, the Emerald City.
Yes.
As it is well known in Star Wars.
Yes. He's got his dumb silken green robes made out of Ortega silk or something. Ortega. It's Ortega silk. There's no Ortega. It's not made with delicious hatch chilies.
Yeah. Ortega silk.
He's got his lightsaber, which has three crystals in it, which is going to lead to, I'm going to say it, the dumbest joke I've read in a Star Wars book yet.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and say this, fucking loved that joke. I got to that and I was like, yes!
But anyway,
give it to Papa!
It's got a Durand fire crystal, which is what gives it its silvery sheen, like his grandfather's blade, and an emerald focusing lens crystal as well, which gives it a greenish tinge towards the tip.
Well, the emerald.
The emerald, yes.
And then a diamond.
There's also a diamond, which he can only engage either the emerald or the diamond at any given time, and at the moment, we don't even know what the diamond crystal does.
Ooh.
Stay tuned.
So yeah, he's like, alright, I gotta head out, I gotta stop Tavira from having all of these pirates. My plan is to get rid of all these pirates. And the last episode, it was just, I know, I'll spook them and then they'll run away. That's what pirates are known for.
Pirates are a cowardly and superstitious lot. It's a straight up Batman episode.
Yeah. It's basically, at this point, he's like, great, I must become a Jedi because he saw a Jedi fly through his window. And
Yoda just comes spinning in. Me, you must excuse. He just flips back out.
Huh.
Weird. your robes do not, I do not like.
You see, Qorn-Horn is terrified of Jedi, and so he must share that fear with those he fights.
One time as a child, he fell into a well full of Jedi.
They all started running around him real fast.
So yeah, his plan is to scare all these pirates. And again, this is, I assume that's just because it's the only option available to him. Because, like, ultimately, even if you scare off every planet on Korkos or Korkros, the planet we're on right now, she'll still have a Victory-class Star Destroyer.
Yeah. I mean, I understand he's like, oh, this weakens her so that if she ever wants to go do anything right now, she'll have to either spend a shitload of time getting new people to join, or, you know, she has to do every single mission in person. That way she's more vulnerable.
Yeah.
Like, I understand why you would do this. It's also, like, the only option you have currently.
Yeah, I would have figured his best option at the moment is just get a ship and leave. Because this has obviously been a dead end. But no, instead his plan is, first he's going to scare his own old squad, the survivors. And I was wrong last episode. I thought Jacob Knive had died. He has not.
Nope.
It was the flight leader of his specific squadron that had died and not the captain in general. So he starts with this Knive guy.
Yep, and Knive apparently at one point trusted Idanian, his secret identity, with the idea that, like, oh, you know, we tried and murdered some Imperial guy.
So the survivors are literally the survivors of an Imperial ship. Like, they mutinied and killed their own captain.
Yeah.
So that's what this is. He used to be, like, second or third in command of some Imperial blockade ship, which is indeed the current ship that they fly. I forget the Backstab.
The Backstab.
So it is that ship. So when they mutinied, they had this captain. He had a terrible name. It was, like, Umus
Magumus.
Yeah, it was terrible. But there's this thing. Oh, his plan is, okay, I'm going to use the Force to fake a visitation by a spirit of the dead.
Oh, yeah. No, he's like, so my first plan is I'm going to Christmas carol this motherfucker.
which leads to a lot of interesting questions. Because, okay, here's how this works. He's going to go back to that bar he always goes to, the same one.
Yep.
The blast shield or something. I forget. And he sits at the table that Knive always sits at.
Well, yeah, because he's basically put up a front now that he's like, oh, I'm going to make it so that everyone thinks that I'm a harmless idiot right now.
I'm mild-mannered playboy, Geno Sedanian.
Yeah, he's like, oh, everyone knows that Tavira wants me to go beer fuck boy on the Invidious.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go ahead and pretend that I'm taking all of these gifts and everything and that I'm constantly drunk. And he gets in good with people because not only do the other commanders are like, oh, I want to get in good with Tavira's fuckboy so I have an in to Tavira.
Yeah.
But also he's like taking all the gifts that she gave him and just kind of like handing them out and being real gregarious.
Yeah, it's almost as if he's literally Bruce Wayne-ing.
Yes.
His plan is to literally create a Bruce Wayne persona. The problem for this storyline is that he spent the past like 8 months living these pirates being a dead serious expert about everything.
Oh, yeah. No, he got here and is like, well, I've spent a year being the world's best badass fighter pilot and whipping everyone into shape. Now they're all going to believe that as soon as I get a whiff of pussy, I turn into just a big drunk idiot.
But it works. So now everyone in town thinks he's like a drunken lout idiot who's at least worthwhile to be hanging around with because he's not violent or anything, and he gives you presents.
Yeah, and Knive at least is like, oh, I didn't really need to have to work on like giving him presents and doing whatever because we had already established that we were friends,
yeah, they're friends
before this.
So his plan is to go pretend to get drunk. He has this whole bit about it's real easy to spill brandy on yourself so you smell bad, and if you drink brandy you can also just spill most of the brandy.
Yeah, if people think you're already drunk to begin with, then you can get real sloppy when drinking and just spill more on yourself than you actually drink.
Yeah, so he's faking being drunk. Knive is not like that. Knive drinks just Lum, which I believe is a Star Wars beer word.
Which I believe is some kind of cave woman?
Yes, it's a cave woman with a giant boomerang.
Yeah.
but
drink her down!
So Knive shows up at the table. The two of them have a little bit of a conversation, and then he uses, and throughout these chapters, I want to make this clear, he is using the Force nonstop. He has lost all interest in avoiding outsiders. Now he's like, we also learn a new wrinkle to his powers. They seem to primarily or exclusively work on humans.
Yeah, which was not the case last time.
That's new. But yeah, luckily for him, Knive is a human, so he memory edits Knive a little bit, and then he, like, creates a ghost that is weirdly described. Was this weird for you, too? There's a point where he's like, he's the exact picture of the captain that this dude mutinied against and killed a long time ago. He's got one black eye from the fight he was last in, and a mouse on his cheek.
Yeah, I don't know if that was, like, he's got a mouse on his cheek, because, like, oh, he was... I don't know.
He got put out an airlock. He's not being eaten by mice and worms.
Yeah, because at first I was like, oh, because he was dead and they like found his dead body and there was a mouse on there. And I was like, oh no, they shoved him out an airlock. Okay, did he have a tattoo of a mouse on his cheek? Like,
did
what?
He just always have a live mouse on his cheek all
did
the time?
Did he have a familiar? What the fuck is this?
Did you mean to put mole and fucked it up? What is going on?
Yeah, but he like...
Huge kicks, Disney guy.
Yeah, he kicks a chair... And is like, you can't sit here. We're already full. And then makes it so that when Knive turns around, he sees this ghost.
Who spits out a big gold credit coin. And then I always love how there's gold credits.
Yeah. He then does a sleight of hand thing where he grabs the fake imaginary gold coin that this guy spit out.
Mm-hmm.
And then has an actual like gold coin in his hand that he can then physically give so that there's... real proof.
There's evidence of this happening. And then he has the ghost of this captain guy. And interestingly, this is an illusion that he is only creating in Knive's head.
Yes.
So this is all just memory editing, effectively. And he basically... The coin was in this dude's mouth in the first place because of an old spacer tradition that if you put a coin in a guy you just killed's mouth, he can't badmouth you to the other dead.
Yeah, it's buying off his silence so that you don't get badmouthed in the afterlife.
Yes, and so when this dude shows up, he barfs the coin onto the table and he's like, eh, there's no use in giving me the coin when I'm already... because the dead don't dad talk other dead. And Knives like, but I'm alive, you spooky ghost.
Oh, yeah. He's just like, you will be visited by three spirits. No, wait a minute. Hold on. Wrong thing. You, doom comes to Corcoran.
We're Marley and Marley.
Whoa.
Anyway, so yeah, he basically is like, doom is coming for you. You're already a dead man. My vengeance is coming. Okay, bye. And then he like evaporates right as Knive tries to throw a beer through him.
Oh yeah. So at this point, you know, they were in a back corner just talking amongst themselves. So no one had really noticed anything weird because again, he had only put this illusion in Knive's head.
Mm-hmm.
So then when he like throws a mug at this illusionary ghost and it smashes, everyone turns and he's like, "There was a ghost.
You all saw him." Didn't you see him? He was right there. And everyone's like, oh, slow down, Maurice, you know, to him. But because he's playing Knives so much, Horn is like, I saw him. Clearly a portent of things to come. One might consider changing their ways in such a situation.
Lest they be chained down with the deeds of their life.
Especially because he's been mind-reading Knive a lot recently and knows that Knive is very regretful about his life choices.
Well, I mean, that's not mind-reading. He was like, told him.
Yeah, the guy's like, I don't like the kind of person I've turned into. I never meant to be a pirate. This isn't what I wanted.
Yeah.
So now he's scared, so... out he goes to start spreading rumors of ghosts.
And the neat thing here is he's like, yeah, and at this point, everyone just started claiming that they had also seen it.
Yeah.
They were like, yeah, and he had fire in his eyes, and he claimed doom was coming for me.
This really is a Batman set of chapters.
Oh, yeah, and even when Corn's like, dude, I was there and I saw him, that didn't happen. He's like, fuck you, you were drunk, you don't know.
Exactly. Because the very next thing the Horn does is he puts on his Jedi outfit and then just walks out of the hotel he's staying in, and rather than just like leaving out the window or wearing a heavy cloak or something, he just walks out in his Jedi outfit and mind erases every single person who sees him.
Oh, yeah, well, he's like, okay, I gotta make sure nobody remembers me, so I'm gonna... you know, selectively erase 8 seconds from this hotel lobby.
Which is like, why not just put on a cloak, dude? You're overdoing it right now. This is, you know, this is the big question of why didn't Obi-Wan just force trick his way out of the whole, like, Dr. Evazan and Ponda Baba situation?
Yeah.
Like, he just did it. He was like, oh, well, you...
Oh, well, it doesn't work on non-humans.
But Dr. Evazan is human.
Oh.
So when he was in there being
Ponda
like...
Ponda Baba would still be like...
Obi-Wan didn't want any shit. He was the one who was just like... Brr, brr, brr. And then Evazan started everything. It really... Ponda Baba was kind of a victim in that whole scenario.
If you think about it, he was Ponda Baba, like, is eternally the victim.
At most, he kind of got bumped into by Luke and was like, "Hey, come on, I'm drinking here."
Hey.
And then Evazon's like, "I'm starting a fight for you. I speak their language. I'm gonna get you fucked up." And from the rest of that whole situation, Ponda Baba's like, "No, dude, come on, no. My arm. Oh, come on." Arms are expensive.
You know how much it's going to pay to get a robotic Aqualish arm?
Especially given how easy it would have been for Obi-Wan to come over and be like, "You don't want to bother this kid. I don't care how many death sentences you have."
That or, you know, "You're still a Jedi. Put him on his ass. Don't cut his hand off."
Yeah. Well, we have since learned from the prequels and so on that Obi-Wan fucking loves taking arms and legs off people.
I mean, he
if you look up the numbers of who was cut off arms and legs, it's like Vader 1 and then Obi-Wan like 65. He just hates arms and legs.
I hate extremities. Only a Sith deals in extremities.
There it is. I hate hands. They're rough and coarse and they get everywhere. I did just sleep with a bunch of dock workers. That might
that might be why.
Anyway, the next thing he does is walk out of this hotel room in his Jedi outfit and then just stalk the streets like Batman until he finds a rape in progress.
Yeah, he's like, "All right, here's what I'm going to do. I got to go find, you know, I'll extend my whole sphere of influence." And in case you were wondering, the reason he's like, "Oh, I can do this now and I didn't before," because, I mean, before, if Tavira's people were around, I could get caught out, but I don't think there's any Force-sensitive people here since Tavira left and isn't coming back for a month, so I'm free to just be full Jedi at the moment.
I love that his basic plan is like, well, Tavira's got advisors. He keeps using that plural for his own terms, and he's like, she's got more than one, and you know what? I'm pretty sure she's never just left them on the planet where she keeps all of her pirates, but I don't know that, because what possible evidence would I have to the contrary?
But he's like, "But I'm sure that she doesn't, because that would be weird."
"I'm sure that she doesn't, because I'm going to go do Jedi stuff, and the book requires it." But anyway, he finds a rape in progress and basically fucks up the rapists real bad. They're trying to rape a local, or an indig, as the local.
One of the indigenous people to this planet.
Mm-hmm.
And so he, more than just like, "Oh, I'll kind of beat these guys up a little bit," is like, "Well, I'm going to break this guy's jaw and then
put
like
a hole in his shoulder with the lightsaber, cut two of the other guy's fingers off."
Yeah. I'm like, "Good God, man."
So he doesn't kill any. He's got this whole thing where he's like, "Well,
I don't kill. Everyone knows the horn doesn't kill.
Killing is the dark side," he says, as he basically puts so much wounds on a guy that he can't be sure he won't die later.
As he kicks a man's jaw off his face, he's like, "No killing.
That way lies the dark side." He's got a real very specific mindset about what is the dark side. Remember last chapter when he was like, "Well, if I had used my force powers in that fight, that would have been the dark side. I mean, physical force powers. I used lots and lots of force powers, but this one subset is the dark side."
Well, that's just sort of like, force powers. This is like, whoa, force powers.
You know what I mean? It's a whole difference. Now, anyway, I'm going to fucking bust this guy down to his component elements.
Yeah.
Then he rescues the rape victim, and he's like, "You don't need to know my name. It is enough that they know I exist.
Tell them that you are saved and that doom comes." What is come to doom?
Well, it depends. Whose is it? Richards!
There we go.
Okay. Now, anyway. So those two were laser blast members, I think, or
the laser.
There's a group that have the worst.
The Major Lasers.
Yeah, they have a name that makes it sound like they're part of an 80s cyberpunk story.
Yes.
Instead of being a Star Wars thing, the name is like the Laser Masters or something, and laser spelled with a Z, and both words are capitalized, but it's one word.
I love them. It makes me so happy to be like, "Ah, yes, and here's the Laser Lords."
You got the Rystar Raiders, which sounds perfectly Star Wars. You've got the Survivors, which sounds perfectly Star Wars. Shala's Hut Crew, that sounds Star Wars. The Laser Lords.
We're the Laser Lords.
You better stay off our turf, or we'll fuck you up with our mono-edged weaponry. Hell yeah, we got Data Jacks.
We are all dressed in laser tag gear that we think makes us look badass.
Every one of them in full laser tag gear with a bandana.
Yes. for sure an 80s gang named the Laser Lords dressed in laser tag gear.
Yes. So this puts them on edge. So now they start kind of abandoning their potion.
Yeah, shitload of Laser Lords take off because he's like, hey, fuck you. If I see any more Laser Lords, I'm going to fucking murder you.
Yeah. Then it's time to go after, I think, a few more Laser Lords when he does this thing where this is the first time when we see that he can't affect non-humans. There's three people out hunting for him because now everyone knows there's a Jedi running around. And so he sees the three people hunting for them, gives them the mental image that he's running down an alley and disappearing.
Oh, yeah. And it's two humans and a Kubaz.
And everybody sees that illusion and runs to the alleyway. And then he puts another illusion in the alleyway of him running around a corner. Two of the two humans go charging after him around the corner, not knowing that this illusion is...
I mean, he coyote and roadrunners them.
He
makes the illusion so that they don't see the wall. They just see an open alley and they go run face first into a wall.
He's really doing a lot of like the logical thinker's guide to Jedi powers here, where he's like, I can use illusions to make it so that there isn't a wall. And I'm like, dude, if that was a regular thing Jedi could do, then a Jedi would have done it by now.
Yeah, but this other Jedi don't have cool mind powers like I do.
This
wily coyote thing
is too much for you, buddy. But yeah, he convinces two of them to run into a wall. One of them knocks herself unconscious. The other one breaks his collarbone. But the power doesn't work on a Kubaz. So he just sort of stands there and is like, no, don't. Except it comes out as... Bzz, bzz, bzz.
Well, I mean, he's like... As he sees them go running towards a wall, he goes to call out to them. And Horn just knocks him in the back of the head with a lightsaber and knocks him out.
Yeah, because he never went into the alley. He used the illusion to make it look like he did, but he was standing at the entrance to the alleyway. So he comes around behind the Kubaz, cold cocks him. And then when the only person who's left conscious is the dude who
broke
his collarbone.
The broken collarbone guy, yeah.
So he walks over to him and he's like, well, if you keep reaching for that gun, I'll cut it off, or cut your hand off. So here's the deal. And he points a lightsaber at him, like, tell everyone that I'm coming for him. You tell him I'm going to get, if I see another.
You tell him I'm coming and hell's coming with me.
Yeah. And if I see another Laser Lord on the street, that Laser Lord's going to die.
Yeah. And then he, you know, walks away. The Kubaz starts to get up. He cold cocks him again with a lightsaber.
Again, that's like that's standard movie stuff where he's like, I'll never kill. And I'm like, dude, you just knocked an unconscious guy unconscious again. That dude's probably gonna die.
But then the collarbone guy still just draws his blaster anyway. He parries a whole bunch and then manages to catch one of them in his hand because the shot goes wild and was going to hit the Kubaz. So he's like, ah, fuck it.
Yeah, he's using that, like I said, this guy's got too many powers for a starting Jedi. Because he also still has that, like, energy absorption trick.
Oh, yeah.
So he's just like, oh, a blaster bolt. I'll just catch it and turn it into energy. Like, and, come on, man. You don't need more powers than Luke has. That should be the hard, fast rule of Star Wars fiction writing. You can't write a Jedi who Luke trained who's better than Luke.
But, I mean, he basically just does the Darth Vader Return of the Empire thing where he like blocks the blaster bolt with his hand and then uses the energy from that for telekinesis to just grab the blaster out of the guy's hand and crush it.
Yeah, especially when you're like, oh, but he has a weakness, he's bad at telekinesis.
Unless
someone's shooting lasers at him,
he can use his superpower to not be hurt by the vast majority of weapons in Star Wars in order to get telekinesis.
Yeah, a power he otherwise wouldn't have, but he does because people are constantly shooting at him. Like, it's shit design. I give your character a D. But yeah, he scares the Laser Lords. At this point, people are starting to take the bait. People are cutting and running. Some whole pirate crews are already gone. He gets a message in from Elagos that two of the survivors in Stone Squadron have left because he put two Z-95s with hyperdrives in their squadron. And he's like, well, I taught Timzer and Kayat how to use hyperdrives. Tell me they escaped. And Elagos is like, yeah, they're the only two who knew how, so they're the ones who escaped. Also, he says, someone's been spreading a rumor that you have been fucking both of them constantly.
Yeah, you've been drunk and spending your free time philandering with them. And so they also had to escape because they knew, like, oh, even if it wasn't true, Tavira would just kill them for
the
touching
audacity.
Her boy toy.
Yes, exactly. So, and Elagos is like, now who spread that rumor that he's been randomly banging all the women on the planet that he likes? And he's like, I can't. I guess I got to take credit for that one, too. Oh, I'm such a drunk. And I'm like, You realize Tavira's got a pretty long reach, right? That was not a very safe rumor to spread.
Well, I mean, he's planning on murdering her anyway, I'm sure.
What he should have done, because by the time he murders her, she may have already hired bounty hunters to go get them.
Well, here's the other thing that we learn is Tavira is not going to find out any of this for a while because her whole paranoia thing with like, oh, I don't want anyone to, you know, find me means everyone on Corcoris on this planet cannot contact her.
Yeah.
They have to wait until a shuttle from, you know, the Invidious or whatever shows up to give new, like, orders.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll get all the news from the planet and take it back.
I'm going to go ahead and say that now. That's a dumb idea.
Oh, that's real fucking stupid.
That's real stupid. And I'll tell you why it's real stupid. What if the Rebellion showed up and liberated this planet from all these pirates?
Yeah. You'd be like, well, I'm not going to show up for a month. Doot-de-doot. No need to know what's going on there for an entire month with, like, half of my organization. Oh, I got back and some shit happened? Boy, I sure wish I had given them one phone.
Yeah, plus look how much damage one guy is doing just because you don't have an open line of communication. Pick someone you trust, like Knive or one of the Black Stars or whatever, and give them a phone number. Just give them a different phone number every time, and it goes to a different person on your ship.
Yeah, like literally just be like, doesn't even need to go to the Invidious.
No.
Go to some other ship that then has a way to get in contact with you.
Yes. Even if you made it so that they have no way of knowing where the Invidious is and just sent out a packet of information, that would be a better bit of piece of info security than literally, I will come back for you when I need you.
Yeah.
So, what happens here, and these three chapters are all pretty much the same, so I'm not worrying about chapter organization.
Well, the next thing he does is he's like, all right, it's time to do my Batman thing against the most secure group.
Yeah.
There's the, like...
The Black Stars or something.
The Black Star Pirates.
Yeah.
And these were the ones who had their own, like, super secret ninja headquarters where he's like, oh, I could watch people, like, go to some place, punch in a number on a pad, and then go into a secret hideout.
Mm-hmm. That's where he finds out that their whole theme is, like, surprisingly underrated late David Bowie albums.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's a really good album.
Yeah, there's so many Diamond Dogs in here.
His last album was called Black Star.
I know. I was just...
Just fucking with me. The whole building is guarded by tin machines.
Oh, man. You know what? This hideout? Okie dokie.
I'm going to go ahead and say that this hideout is your best station. It's station one. I don't have any more. I'm good.
Hunky dory.
Thanks. Thank you for doing that.
So, anyway. The whole plan there, he's like, all right, I'm going to hang out here, and I'm going to wait until, because all the pirates who go in normally just, like, punch it in real fast, and if he's standing far enough away to not draw attention to himself, he can't quite make out what the code is. So he has to wait until an older, less...
Slower?
Yeah, just a slower pirate shows up, puts the code in, and then he's like, I'm going to mind trick him so that he doesn't see that the door opened.
Why not just read his fucking mind?
Exactly. I was like, you have mind reading ability. You don't need to be like, oh, he put the code in. I'm going to make it so he has to put the code in again.
Slower this time.
Just as a, you can do this to anyone. As the person comes up, they're going to go, all right, I'm putting in 4381. And you're like, great, cool, got it.
You can read minds and you have no qualms about doing it. Why are you doing this? And even if you're like, well, I want to do this detective style, then do it detective style. Go over there and see which ones have fingerprints on them. You know, do that shit. We've all watched someone do that in a movie. What's up with this half measure shit?
Nope. He's like, I watched this dude put in the code slowly, but that wasn't enough. I need to watch him put it in slowly twice. Then I'll have it.
Then he goes in there and turns out that these guys basically built themselves an opium den / gambling arena. And that leads me to further questions, which, like, if you have a bunch of prostitution and gamblers and so on operating a building, how are the employees getting in there?
That was 100%. He was like, oh, yeah, and you've got the, like, bartenders and fucking hookers and people selling drugs. And I'm like, from where?
What are you talking about? And if there's an easy back door where all these prostitutes and so on are getting in there, how come your lazy cop ass didn't notice that?
Fucked up. But yeah, that day when he goes in, he, of course, is also doing full Batman because he's like, it's raining and storming, and I'm going to go in there and have that whole, like, Batman lightning flash behind me thing.
He literally fakes it. He uses the force to implant in all the humans in the building the vision of a lightning bolt accompanying his dramatic exit.
Yep. Like, he goes in there.
Batman doesn't have to fake it. Lightning works for Batman.
Lightning is on Batman's payroll. But yeah, he goes in there, he busts up the drink counter,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, all right, all of you innocent prostitutes, leave so that I may fuck with the gamblers. And goes in there and like cuts up the roulette wheel real bad and is like, hey, you fuckers, there's nowhere that's safe from me. Mm-hmm. Waha! I am the bat.
And he's like cloaking himself in what he describes as a blood red mist. In everything that he does, which I'm gonna go, that's gotta look awful with his stupid green cloak.
Ho ho!
Those
ho.
Are bad colors to mix.
It's Christmas Jedi.
At least do purple, so people think you're doing like a Mardi Gras thing.
It's the Joker Jedi.
But then he like slashes a hole. He notices a door to the outside and slashes a hole in a wall right through it. I assume that's the back door through which like the prostitutes are coming and going. But you'd think if he was like, where the fuck are they going? I gotta case the joint. You'd think he'd like. Do one lap around the bar.
Just do a perimeter sweep and maybe...
Just one quick jog. You could pretend to be drunk if it'll make you feel better. And be like, oh, hey, I don't recognize that door from the inside.
I wonder if I spend days watching people put codes in until old man McShaky Fingers shows up.
But yeah, they're all like desperately scared of him. He carves a hole into the building so he can stand there with the lightsaber in the rain. And then he fakes a lightning bolt.
Yeah, he has to implant the image of a lightning flash and his spooky, scary silhouette.
But only on the humans, because it doesn't work on any aliens at all, apparently.
Yeah, which, again...
What are we doing?
Nope, that's not what was established. And the thing is, it later gets established. I mean, whatever, again, fuck spoilers for this chapter. But it also apparently doesn't work on Force users, which, again... The prime example of him using this was a group of Force users, mm-hmm. including Luke Skywalker, a Master Jedi.
Yes. Well, on his side, there are several of them were aliens. Like, you got to assume that didn't work on Dorsk 81 at all. He was just like, what are you doing, buddy?
All of them. All of them saw the thing. No one was like, hey, what are y'all doing?
Teon's not human either. It probably didn't work on her.
And it did, though. We know it did. The book told us it did. It just got late into the chapter, and he's like, oh, I just realized I gave my protagonist an ability that solves every problem. Doesn't work on aliens now.
Yeah, now we're going to find out the secret weakness in his whole, like, blaster bolts into telekinesis bishop routine.
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing is, he can't do it if it's the color yellow blaster.
So, anyway, now the Black Stars are scared. And their whole thing, their reaction to going scared is to go native. They, like, disappear into the population.
Yeah, we get a bunch of people who are like, oh, they just, you know, vanish out into the wilderness and mm-hmm. go native. You get some people who cloister up super heavy and they're like, now you don't see them on the street. They just like super insular.
Mm-hmm.
But this ends up backfiring a little bit as Shala the Hutt is just like, all right, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to call him out. I've noticed you don't kill anyone.
Yep.
So I'm going to start doing ridiculous crimes and be like, hey, buddy. Hey, come stop me.
Yes.
Hey, dude, come stop me.
So Shala has put out the word that there's like a 10,000 credit bounty on any Jedi head that happens to get brought in. And then he starts sending out his gangers to just like commit increasingly mean crimes. He starts with property damage. He's shaking down the locals.
Yeah, he's robbing them. And he's like, damn it, I wanted the locals on my side. But now they're mostly just seeing it as, oh, I am just here to beat people up.
Yeah, and I like this, because when we first introduced to Shala, he described this hut as, like, immense, which means he's really old, and, like, mumbling and stupid. And now,
yeah,
I'm like,
it was like, oh, this senile old hut.
Now I'm like, oh, no, wait, he's not senile. He's the fucking godfather. This is a Don Corleone hut. And everyone's like, you got it, boss. I will go hunt for Jedi. And I hope the Jedi I capture will be a masculine Jedi.
A Corellian Jedi.
I have been trying to collect a green one.
Now, he's like, all right, I'm going to go meet Shala. Because Shala's like, Come fight me, bro. 1v1 me in my warehouse.
Yeah, he basically is like, look, if the Jedi wants to do anything, I will be in my warehouse. And Elagos is like, dude, that's an obvious trap. This is a straight up Alfred Batman conversation.
Yeah, he's like,
I have to confront the Joker.
I'm going
to
go into that warehouse. And he's like, don't.
Don't. That's very...
That's dumb as fuck. And he's like, but I gotta.
I have to. But otherwise, I lose it all.
No, man. You
no compromises, Elagos.
But you could just, like, not...
Or
maybe like
just, you've been doing all kinds of goofy tricks the whole time. Why don't you just go in there and activate their fire control system or something?
Yeah.
Just sprinkle them out.
And the thing is, even just like do a little bit of Batman work here, because mm-hmm. instead of being like, oh, I'm going to go in like on the roof, or I'm going to like case the place and see what I can find as far as, you know, any type of guns or any emplacements, because Elagos is like, all right, you can tell if people are there. What happens if they just have a shit ton of automated defense turrets? Mm-hmm. He's like, well, I'll just improvise.
Yeah, this is basically showing us that all of these sessile slug gang leaders that they keep introducing in the movies and the books are only functional as threats if you're dumb enough to just walk into their house.
Yeah.
Because that's what we did with Jabba, too.
Oh, yeah. And fucking Cornhorn's like, oh, that worked out for Luke. I'm going to literally walk in the open front door of this warehouse.
Yeah.
And that's it.
That plan
that's
accomplished.
My whole plan.
I'm like, dude, no, just, you know, there's skylights in the building. Just throw a bunch of smoke grenades in there. Something. Do something.
And, you know, he's like, oh, I can't case it because Shala shut down the warehouse to any visitors, so I couldn't go in there. And I'm like, you do realize you have spent this entire time being like, I can mind trick people. Just fucking mind trick people into letting you look around the warehouse.
I think a big part of that for Shala, to Shala's not accidental credit, is that his crew is almost entirely non-humans.
Eh.
We know he's got a Twi'lek majordomo because he's super unoriginal.
Well, yeah, well, he's got a Twi'lek that's his main engineer explosives guy.
Yes, but also like his number one guy named like
Bob.
Rakshatika or something.
Yeah, his number one
guy.
A guy.
Yes. Wait, wasn't Joker the number one guy of Jack Palance's character?
Yes, but then, he goes to Bob.
Yeah, okay.
You are my number one guy.
All right, I'm remembering now. Okay. So, yeah, he just walks the fuck in there and then gets a quick look around and realizes that Shala,
Shala, like, turns on a spotlight on himself and is like, motherfucker, I've got a dead hut switch.
Yeah.
Because he's not a dead man switch because I'm not a man, you see, I'm a hut.
Mm-hmm.
So... if you do anything to me, I'll drop this and it'll blow up an entire kilometer square block.
I don't mind the dead hut switch thing specifically because huts are canonically hermaphroditic.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's better than saying a dead person switch or whatever. It's a nice acknowledgement of a truth about huts.
Eh.
But anyway, yeah, Horn gets a chance to like get a good look around. He's like, oh, look, yeah, sure enough, your explosive guy rigged a bunch of bombs and told you that the bombs would blow up a mile of terrain, but they won't. They'll just kill me and you.
He's just trying
to take your thing.
Yeah, he was like, oh, he mostly pointed them towards where Shala is at.
Yeah.
And, like, the explosions are big enough that, like, it would get anyone near him. So, yeah, it would also, you know, probably kill, you know, me as well.
Yes.
But most of this is just his right-hand man being like, oh, if this Jedi shows up, I'll two birds, one stone it.
Exactly. So... he even tries to tell Shala this, where Shala, he's like, so, did your explosive guy do all this? And he's like, yes. A droid translates. Yes, the master is particularly pleased with Rakshatika Bob and his efforts. And Horn's like, you should probably ask for a refund. He set it up so it'll kill just the two of us and won't actually blow up a lot of other stuff. And then, rather than dealing with that, he gets into a convoluted description of his lightsaber trick.
Yeah, well, he's like, oh, what I'm gonna do is... I have the ability to extend my lightsaber out, like, twice as long.
That's what the diamond does, as we find out.
So, instead of, like...
133 centimeters.
I get 300 centimeters. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, I'm going to use this, and I'll just cut the switch in half from where I'm standing, and he won't be able to really react to it because, oh, it'll be so long and surprising how long and thin it is.
Isn't the whole point of dead man switches that even if you break them, they activate the thing that they activate?
Well, I mean, that would depend, because I mean, if you were to just destroy the circuitry immediately, then maybe not.
Well, because the only thing that the other side of a dead man switch is doing is checking to see if a continuous signal is being sent from the dead man switch.
Yeah.
And if you turn off that signal with any means at all, other than the one approved means that was built into the system, it stops the signal and the dead man switch goes off. That's like the point of them.
Yeah. See,
so you can't
just go
like, I have a dead man switch, and then someone shoots it right out of your hand.
Exactly. Now, I thought what he was going to do was cut the Hutt's hand off and then like grab it while it was still in his grip.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, that's cool. He's like, if I let my grip go, and then he just cuts the hand off and is like, great, you didn't.
But instead, his
plan was to hit the fucking controller, which, as we have established, is stupid.
It's stupid. It's also stupid that he built himself an extendo lightsaber just because Gantoris did, as we find out in a minute. So he tries to do his extendo lightsaber, but it breaks immediately. His lightsaber emits a huge cough of smoke and turns off.
Yeah, he gets the beam for a second, which kind of stabs and freaks the Hutt out. Doesn't really do anything to him, but freaks him out.
Does cause him to drop his dead Hutt switch, which is a big surprise to everybody.
Yeah. And now he's like, oh no, the explosions all go off. Guess I'll have to use my ability to not worry about getting shot by blasters or any explosions or anything at all, because I've got the dumbest fucking power in Star Wars.
I really hate this shit. So yeah, he just bishops all these thousands of lasers being shot at him with a little description about how he can feel each sting as they impact him. And I'm like, yeah, that come back to me when there's some fucking consequences.
Oh yeah, because he's just like, ow, that kind of hurt. But then I use all the energy that I'm getting from absorbing all of these to shunt the pain anyway.
Yes.
So it doesn't matter.
Yeah, and then he's like, well, now I've got a lot of residual superpower.
But
I'll blow the explosion through the ceiling. Oh, yeah. And Shala's dead.
Well, Shala's dead, but it also blew up a bunch of chemical canisters around here. So he's like, it's not going to blow up a whole block, but it will definitely damage shit around here. So he starts telekinesing all the fire and the chemical barrels and everything else into the, like, room in a whirlwind of fire and explosions, and just blows it out the top of the warehouse.
Yes, and then he's like, well, it's a sharp beam of energy going up the top of the warehouse. I'm like, no, it isn't. It's full of explosions. But
it's a sharp beam going up the top of the warehouse. It's like I'm in a Marvel movie right now.
We have to stop this thing. Honestly, Marvel movies haven't done that in a while. It's been more DC movie recently.
Need more sky beams.
Yeah, but in any event, so he uses his power of illusions, and also the fact that he still has lots of extra energy from his bullshit power, to send out an implantation to, like, the minds of everybody in the city that a giant Jedi ignited a giant lightsaber when he stood out of this warehouse.
Yeah.
And then looks around to be like, I am doom and you cannot escape me. And then it fades out again.
Yeah. And then he's like, oh, sweet. That was pretty badass. Oh, wait a minute. I'm the only one that can absorb things. All of my clothes. He like goes to clip his lightsaber to his belt and his belt has melted and is gone.
Yes.
He's so like, oh, yeah, that's right.
So he got caught in a big old chemical fire and is naked now. He's Mr. Embarrassing Nakers that he has to run home all nakey style.
The only thing that could survive that explosion was a lightsaber and him.
Mm-hmm.
And also, because all of the like glass in the windows in here imploded inwards from this explosion, he also got a shitload of tiny cuts all over him.
Mm-hmm.
And he is absolutely drained at this point. He's like, I can't even touch the Force.
Yeah.
Like, I am fucked up. I'm forceless. I'm tired, I'm exhausted.
And if anyone sees me running around with his lightsaber, which I can't just leave somewhere, I will be found out immediately, and I can't hide it because I'm not wearing clothes.
Yeah, so he goes running through the street naked, and he, like, hides next to some building, and then a couple of employees leave.
Yeah, like some random women come out, and they're like, ah, a naked man's penis, oh,
oh, ho, ho. And he's like, I gotta hide in this alley. Oh, no, it's a dead end. And it's the only alley that's well lit on this whole planet.
And it's the only alley that leads to my hotel room, too. What a problem this is for everybody. And then Elagos comes out and is like, Master Bruce, you've embarrassed us all once again.
Drunk again.
Yeah.
And I see you've broken a speeder bike as he holds up
fucking the handlebar.
Where's the rest of it?
Yeah. You're so drunk and you're embarrassing yourself in front of these ladies. Now come inside immediately.
And, you know, the ladies go, teehee, what a dumb, drunk, naked guy,
mm-hmm.
and go walking off.
Yes. And he's like, thanks, Elagos. I thought you were deaf. Because he's been spinning through this in his head. He's all reeling into, like, oh, he's been found out for sure. And Tavira's already come here, and she's already got him, and she's going to blow up the whole fucking planet that he came from. Oh, it's awful. And I'm like, didn't you remember your whole convoluted story about how Tavira never comes here?
His fear was, if I get found out, she'll come and blow up all this
shit. She was like, what have I done to you?
Oh, Robin, what have I done?
Lori. Lori Labaris. No. Anyway, he's fine. Everything's fine. He's all cut up, but he's fine.
Yeah, they just go back to his hotel room, and, you know, he's like, ow, that hurt. And Elagos is like, all right, time for you to say you fucked up. And he's like, well, I didn't really
fuck
up.
That is the best. This is the culmination of the whole, like, he has to learn what he truly is. Because Elagos is like, see, that was a fucking stupid idea, you idiot. And he's like, no,
I told you it was dumb.
I accomplished the mission. Yeah, barely. And only because you happened to luck into an assassin trying to kill both of you instead of a team trying to just kill you.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, but I still see that as a win. You need to admit that you fucked this one up. And he's like, I am a cop and I am a fighter pilot. And neither one of those things ever admits to doing anything wrong ever. And I'm like, you don't think that that's a good thing, do you? When you're saying that, when you're like, I am incapable of being wrong. It's a man thing. You're like,
I'm a cop and cops can't do anything wrong. And you're like, not a good look.
No, don't want that. I know you've done stories about fighting corrupt cops before. I know you have.
And then he's like, all right, but here's the thing. As a Jedi, you for sure fucked up.
And this is great because he just turns on a fucking dime. He just goes, as a Jedi, you're right. I did do wrong. And I'm sorry.
Oops, my bad. And he's like, thank you.
All right, you're too compartmentalized if you immediately apologize after that much of a show about not doing it. He's like, I'm all of these things. That means I have to be a Jedi all the time.
Oh. Yeah.
I can't just be a cop when it's convenient, like real cops do.
Yeah, no. He's like, oh, yeah, you know what? I did fuck up. And of course, Elagos is like, look, the only reason you survived is because you used your power to try and save other people, and in so doing, save yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that. The whole point of being a Jedi is trying to, you know, serve others and not yourself. This was, again, you being like, I'm a badass and can do what I want and don't care about no consequences.
Yeah. Now, obviously, even though this is supposed to be an object lesson in how he's supposed to have consequences for his actions, he didn't. And in the future, I assume he will still not.
Yeah, well, I mean, we only got like 4 chapters and an epilogue to go, so.
I really doubt a big comeuppance is coming in the last 4 chapters.
No. But yeah, at this point, of course, Tavira shows up and is like, hey, you drunk idiot, I heard you've been fucking and drinking. And he's like, guilty as charged.
Yeah, so the next morning, he's living in opulence. He's wearing the special super silk robe that, oh, by the way, if you're wondering how come Elagos knew to go outside and rescue him, it's because Elagos made sure to make his special green Corellian Jedi robes out of Otega silk, which when burning has a smell that Kamasi can detect.
Well, that's how he found him.
Yeah.
But how he knew to go look for him is because he also got the vision, because apparently sometimes aliens can get visions and sometimes not when it's convenient.
It works on elves.
It works on convenience.
Yes.
He has plot-based powers.
So the next morning he's having his opulent hero's breakfast. He has some space pancakes and some space syrup, and he's all like, I shouldn't be wearing this robe that I was given as a gift by my cruel oppressor Tavira, but it's so comfortable. I deserve a little treat.
I just blew up a warehouse and a hut. I deserve a little treat.
This is just a bit of me time. I'm having a self day. But then Tavira just shoves Elagos out of the way and marches in, and she's like, you fucking drunk asshole. What is wrong with you?
There has been a Jedi fucking around here for the past, like, 3 weeks, and what have you done? As far as I have heard, you have been drunk, fucking random women, and you broke a speeder bike.
You broke the speeder bike I gave you. Which I assume means that Elagos went out that very same night and destroyed the speeder bike in his garage just to, like, for deniability. We don't get that covered, but...
No, but she's like, and I got you a new speeder bike. Please be careful with this one.
Mm-hmm.
And how about you, I don't know, do your fucking job as the head of Bolt Squadron and actually hunt this Jedi down.
I also like that she still is rambling on about blondes being idiots or whatever, or having secret wisdom or something, because there's a point where she's like, and how did you react when you encountered the Jedi? And he's like, I've only heard rumors. I haven't seen him. And she's like, yeah, you know, I heard a story that the first appearance was the visitation of the ghost, and you were right fucking there. So... But here's the deal. Rather than catching you in that lie, I'll just have a convenient random self bit of wisdom about how blondes are so fucking dumb.
Yeah, no, she's just like, oh, you blondes, don't you know, this is Luke Skywalker. Clearly, because you sent, or my people sensed him and you put together that he was at Zafel,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, there are rumors that he's putting on a whole academy, but we're the biggest threat to the New Republic, so clearly they would send him after me.
And he's like, ah, Luke. Sure, yeah, it's Luke. But there's a whole bit where she spins off about the fucking Sun Crusher, and the whole time we're like, I was just like, yeah, you're right. You got a good point there, Tavira.
She's like, I don't think the Sun Crusher is destroyed, because clearly you would never get rid of a thing like that.
If you even could.
And also, you don't just have the person who disobeyed orders and blew up a star system then get rewarded with being a Jedi Knight. Clearly, this was a plan they had all along.
Yeah, there's this whole thing where she's like, where even Horn, who's trying to play a drunk idiot who doesn't want to deal with her, is like, oh, I heard it was a child flying that thing, a person who was not part of the Republic. And she's like, that's dumb as hell, because if it was just some rogue element that was flying it, he'd be in prison right now. He's not. He got a present and a Jedi robe and a lightsaber and an X-Wing. He's a hero to them because he killed Karita, and they have no qualms about killing us now.
Yeah. And he's like, you know what? That makes perfect sense.
That makes
good
sense.
That they would be trying to, her whole thing is like, oh yeah, they're trying to lure me out so they can Sun Crusher me.
Yes. And not only that, but you got to assume that she's a little paranoid, sure. But anyone else who knows the arc of what happened to Kip Duran probably has the same opinion.
Yeah.
Not even Imperials.
No.
Anyone who knows about Karita and Kip Duran has to be like, how come that guy's not in fucking prison? Wait, they made him a Jedi Knight?
Oh, this was definitely planned. He did that with full consent then.
Mm-hmm. Like, they were going to claim he was a rogue element, but then they just gave him rewards.
Yeah. Bullshit.
Yeah.
Bullshit, dumb garbage. Kip Duran is the worst.
It's probably a terrible idea to have her make that point in this book, because all you do is go, whoa, Tavira's got a really good point, and she's got a bigger point than she thinks she does.
Yeah.
But instead, she's just like, I can see your dick because your robe wasn't closed, and I'm sad it's not a boner because I'm here. You're like, okay, all right, that's...
And I'd love to stay and bone with you, but I have things to take care of. Mm-hmm. Now, go catch that Jedi for me, and also, go kill Knive. He
I really
sucks.
Like that part where he's like, you want me to what now? Go capture and kill fucking Luke Skywalker. And he's like, I'm a pilot, and I'm just some guy. You think I can kill Luke Skywalker? She's like, you better. And you have like 6 days to do it. Also, go kill fucking Captain Knive. He's gotten weak, and I want you in charge of his outfit.
Yeah, he got all sad and weak after you made a ghost appear to him, so get rid of him.
And at this point, okay, then she strides out, and we're like, all right, well, now we have a new ticking clock.
Yep.
And we have a situation where he needs to figure out a way to solve that situation. So he's like, well, it's easy for me to kill the Jedi because I am the Jedi. I could just stop doing it and say I killed him. But what I'll do instead is have the Jedi kill me.
Oh, yeah.
And that'll get me out of everything.
Because at this point, he's like, all right, people, I'm going to go back to the point where people know and respect me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put a huge bounty on this guy's head. I'm going to basically do the same thing that Shala did. And then I'm like, I've got a plan. I've got a trap. I'm going to go after this guy. I know what I'm doing. And so he's like, yeah, I'm going to make it seem like I'm super competent. I'm super badass.
Mm-hmm.
And then when, you know, this Jedi kills me, then everyone will be shaken. And that'll be like the last nail in the coffin.
And all these pirates will leave. And I'm like, great. You solved the problem of this planet having a lot of pirates on it. But now Tavira thinks you're dead. So you'll never be able to ask her where your wife is, which is the point of the book.
So he does not worry himself with that and instead is like, all right, time for me to put this plan into motion. I've already upped the reward on this guy's head.
Mm-hmm.
I've already seeded the idea that I'm looking for him and that I've got some plan and some trap. And then he's like, okay, it's time to make an appearance as Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And rough up the bar I usually go to and be like, I heard Idanian was looking for me. Tell him I'll fucking kill him. If I see him, I accept his challenge and I'll fucking kill him. Bye.
Yeah. Same warehouse, the same time. And then when he leaves, he sees five people who are obviously out Jedi hunting, and he's like,
yeah, because
oh.
That's been a thing now, is
yeah.
He's like, oh, sometimes people will go in groups to be like, let's go try and hunt a Jedi for that reward.
Yeah. So he sees five people, and he's like, oh, Jedi hunters. So he runs to the alley and tries to do the alley trick again.
He's like, I'm just going to make it seem like I'm running in the opposite direction.
It
does. None of them look at his illusion. All of them look at him.
It does nothing. He has no effect on them. He's like, shit, fuck. So he runs, and he's like, what the fuck is this? Is it a whole squad of aliens? Is this her advisors?
Yeah, he was like, all right, They didn't look at that, but I'll make it so I'll run and that they don't see me run. Nope, still keep coming after him. He's like, all right, fine. Takes out the lightsaber, and he's like, you guys don't want none of this. I got a lightsaber, and I'm too cool for school.
And then they all have lightsabers. All five of them. And they all five have different colors. They do blue and yellow and white and purple
and gray and russet and gold.
A whole rainbow of lightsabers in front of him. And he's like, fuck, shit, what the fuck is this? What is happening? But my first thought was like, well, if you're going to send out a team to hunt a Jedi that primarily kills people or hurts people by using illusions, which is what everyone who comes out of these, like the woman who knocked herself unconscious on an invisible or not there wall is going to be like, there was a fake wall. Eventually, the whole illusion story is going to spread. Send robots. Send droids. Send assassin droids. They're a known quantity. Send lots and lots of assassin droids. It'll work fine. Send two HK-47s. They'll get them. But no, a rainbow of lightsaber. And he's like, well, shit, I'm facing a rainbow of Jedi hunting Jedi. And then that ends the chapter. But can we just say what the fucking obvious it is that that's the cast of Yavin 4?
What?
That is clearly the cast of, that's the Yavin 4 group. That's the school.
Is it?
Yes, 100. I'm make this clear. I have not read any further ahead this time. I did not read the next chapter by accident. And even though I read this book when I was like 14, I have no recollection of anything in it. That is for sure the Yavin 4 kids.
Huh?
No way it isn't. They all have their own colors of lightsaber.
I immediately was just like, oh, obviously this is Tavira's fucking force using advisors.
I think she has one. And this is five people, and I'm going to go ahead and guarantee that he wanted to include the Jedi school at the end of this book, and that's who this is. It's Dorsk, what's his name? The guy who can only, it's Streen, it's Teon, it's Cam, it's them. I give you my solid word as a person who can see obvious plot points coming through.
Great.
Yeah, so, just saying, it's kind of depressingly obvious.
Although, again, his plot-based illusion power is so sad to me.
Yeah, well, the other reason I think it's them is because his whole deal is like, remember when he was telling Elagos, like, I can't just send Luke Skywalker an email, I'll get caught. But what he did do instead was cause hundreds of thousands of pirates to flee this planet in terror and then go tell their various stories in cantinas all over the galaxy. Which means that it's definitely gotten to the information gatherers of the Republic by now, which means it's gotten to Luke by now.
I guess.
I don't know if that's exactly what happened, but that's exactly what fucking happened.
Well, I mean, join us in a week to find out.
If we learn if reading like 18 Star Wars books in a row means that we might actually be entitled to write them now.
I mean, I'm pretty sure anyone is entitled to write a Star Wars book after having read these.
I mean, we can ask our publisher. Like, yeah, I know technically we work for Adams Media and they have nothing to do with Lucasfilm or Disney or whatever, but hey, you know, maybe they've got connections. Let us write a Star Wars novel.
Give me a Star Wars book. How bad could it be? This bad? Who cares?
Yeah, I've seen what your floor of quality is. I can hit that.
I've seen what you publish, so don't act like you're high and mighty.
I've read stuff that we haven't even done on the show, like the fart wedding.
I've read shit that'll turn you white.
The fart wedding. That's a real fucking thing in a real fucking Star Wars book.
It is.
So anyway, tune in next week to find out how right I obviously am.
Now, of course, if you don't want to wait a week, you can always go over to patreon.com/systemmastery. Join us at the
there.
$2 level and... We will have more content for you, and we go to Wikipedia. We find some stuff. We tell each other. We tell you.
Mm-hmm.
We get weird little stories, stuff from the nooks and crannies. We really floss out the nasty bits of Star Wars.
We look at the English muffin that is Star Wars and pry all that jelly out of the nooks and crannies just for you.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
The English muffin that is Star Wars.
Well, you know, whatever. It's at the $2 level at patreon.com/systemmastery, and I would really appreciate it if you would stop on by there and support us. You get so much great content. Not only you get that Star Wars content, but it gets you the System Mastery bonus content episodes as well, and you can also bump your pledge to 5 to get even more stuff, the monthly afterthought and the bi-weekly TV Mastery where we are doing all kinds of... Oh, boy. We have to do that this week, and I have no idea what it's going to be.
I know.
A mystery is afoot.
I know.
Ooh, I already guessed what you were going to do it the first time. I bet I can do it again.
Is it TV?
I am the master prognosticator. So,
so thank you all for joining us. We will, of course, be back. If you want to leave us a 5-star rating or a nice little written thing, that'd be great. You don't have to, but we love it. And until next time, I've been Elan Sleazebagano.
And I am definitely the kids from Yavin 4.